You take your Bibles, turn to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. I'll begin reading in verse 24. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 24. Bible says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal the vision and prophecy, to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem, unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks. In 62 weeks the street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. Unto the end of the war desolations are determined. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. In the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. And let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, I pray tonight that you'll bless us as we look into your word. I pray that you'll give us understanding. Teach us again this evening, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. In those few short verses we read just a moment ago, there is some of the greatest prophecy in all the Bible. As a matter of fact, Daniel chapter 9 has been termed as one of the greatest chapters of the Bible, and certainly one of the greatest chapters of prayer and prophecy in the Bible. The first portion of Daniel chapter 9, up through verse 19, we see is primarily the prayer of Daniel. Daniel had been sitting down and doing some Bible study. He'd been reading the book of Jeremiah. In the book of Jeremiah, he found out that there would be 70 years that would take place of Babylonian captivity. He had been in Babylonian captivity for close to 68 years, and then he realized there was only 2 more years of captivity left. While he was praying and while he was confessing the sins of himself and his people Israel, an angel came to him by the name of Gabriel. Gabriel came to him and gave him this great prophecy, which we've been studying. Now remember, there are certain things that are very important concerning this prophecy. If we realize these things, the prophecy will make more sense to us. So let me just review very quickly some of the things we've already learned from those verses that I've read just now. Of course, one of the things we've learned at the beginning of the chapter, we realized that Daniel was reading a book. And what book was Daniel reading? Jeremiah. He's reading the book of Jeremiah. In the book of Jeremiah, he found out that how many years would have to come to pass for Babylonian captivity? 70 years. Those 70 years we saw represented a period of time that the children of Israel did not allow their land to rest every seventh year. There was a sabbatic year that every seventh year the land was to rest. God says, if you do not let the land rest every 7 years, I will take you out of the land and I'll cause the land to rest. Therefore, these 70 years that he was reading about represented a period of time of how many years? 490 years. Okay? That this period of time of 70 years represented how many years? 490 years. Okay, very good. That represented 490 years. So evidently, 490 years, the land had not rested every seventh year. Therefore, God said, I'm going to cause the land to rest for 70 years to represent that 490 years that the land did not rest every seventh year. So Daniel had just gotten done reading that, and then he began to pray. As he prayed, Gabriel came down and met with him. And Gabriel said, you've just been studying about 70 years that represented 490 years. I'm going to talk to you about another 490 years yet in the future. You look back in Jeremiah about 70 years that represented 490 years in the past. I'm going to talk about 490 years in the future. Now, here are the important things concerning this prophecy. The first thing we need to realize concerning the prophecy is who this prophecy is concerning. We see in verse 24 that the prophecy is concerning two things. It's first of all concerning the children of Israel and the city of Jerusalem. So we must realize that and keep it within that context. This prophecy is concerning the Jews and their city, Jerusalem. We also saw that concerning this prophecy, that there were 70 weeks determined upon them. This 70 weeks, we saw, represented 70 sevens. And we've already seen that these 77s represented 77s of years, or 70 weeks of years. Therefore, the 70 weeks of years represents how many years? 490 years. So we see this represents 490 years. It's concerning, and it has to do with the Jews and Jerusalem. It will last 490 years. The third thing we saw is the purpose of this revelation to Daniel. The reason that this was given to Daniel, or the reason for this 490 years. We saw that there is how many things that would have to take place within this 490 years?
Six things.
Had to be six things. Okay, how many things had to be determined, or how many things had to be accomplished to the Jews and Jerusalem over these 490 years?
Six things,
right. These six things had to take place. Therefore, if these six things have not taken place, then the 490 years are not yet over. So we have to realize that these six things had to take place before the 490 years would be done. And after the 490 years would be done, then these six things would be accomplished at that time. The next thing that we need to realize then is, when did this 490 years begin? When will this timetable that was given to Daniel, when will it begin? We saw that was given in verse 25. Know ye therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem. The last part of the verse says, the street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. So this 490 year period that was to take place would begin with the decree to rebuild Jerusalem, and not just the city, but the walls also. We saw that now, normally this would not be a problem, except that there were several decrees that were given to rebuild Jerusalem. Last week we looked at three of those decrees. We looked at, first of all, the decree that Cyrus gave to rebuild the city. But we saw in that decree that no mention was made of rebuilding the wall. Then we saw that the decree that Darius made in the Bible also. But that decree was just reaffirmation of what Cyrus had said, and there was no mention of rebuilding the wall. Then we saw the decree made by Artaxerxes, and his decree said, go back and rebuild the city and rebuild the wall. That decree was given in the year 434 B.C., and therefore 445 B.C., and therefore that's when the 490-year period will begin, is in the year 445 B.C., and we saw that in Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 8, that decree that was given. So that's the fourth thing that we see. The fourth thing is that the decree that the 490 years would begin with the decree of rebuilding the city and the wall of Jerusalem. And that was given by Artaxerxes in the year 445 B.C. Let's look then at the fifth thing that I want you to notice concerning this prophecy. The fifth thing that we can see from this prophecy is the time when Messiah will appear as the Prince of Israel. It says, verse 25, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. So from the beginning, or from the time that this decree was made to rebuild the city and the walls, until Messiah the Prince comes, we see there's two portions of years. We see there's a portion of 7 weeks and 62 weeks. So 7 weeks representing 49 years, 62 weeks representing 434 years, a total of 69 weeks in 483 years. Okay, so we already know then 483 years from the time that the decree was made that we will see the Messiah as the Prince of Israel. So we have the timetable already given to us. God already gave us, all the way back at the time of Daniel, he told us exactly when Messiah would come as the Prince of Israel. So when did Jesus present himself as the Prince of Israel? Look in Zechariah chapter 9. Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. If you have a Schofield Bible, that's found on page 973. Help those of you that have a Bible like mine. Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. Notice what that verse says. This is the prophecy concerning Christ. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. So we see that Jesus will be presented as the king, or as the prince of Israel, when he comes in riding into Jerusalem upon a donkey. So that's when Jesus will present himself as the king. He'll present himself as the prince. Of course, we already know who the Messiah is. The Messiah is Jesus. When did Jesus present himself as Prince of Israel or as King of Israel? He presented himself when he rode into Jerusalem upon a donkey. Look over in Luke chapter 19. And let's look at an example of this. Say, when was this that he came in? In Luke chapter 19, verse 28. It says, when he had thus spoken, he went before, ascending up to Jerusalem. It came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, go ye into the village over against you, the which at your entering in you shall find a colt tied, whereon ye never man sat. Loose him, and bring him hither. If any man ask you, why do ye loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. They were sent their way, and found even as he had said unto them. As they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, why loose ye the colt? They said, the Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now on the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. He answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Of course, this is the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ into Jerusalem. When Jesus Christ came in riding upon a colt, and when the Jews put the palm branches down before him on Palm Saturday. If you'll remember, I don't care what the Catholics say, look in John chapter 12. By the way, when Catholic tradition goes against the Word of God, I'm going to take the Word of God. Amen? I don't care if the Catholics call it Palm Sunday and Good Friday and Ash Wednesday and everything else in the world. If the Bible says differently, we'll go by what the Word of God says. Amen? John chapter 12, verse 1. It says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which he had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. So 6 days before the Passover, Jesus went into Bethany. The Passover was that next week on Thursday. So 6 days before that would have been on Friday. So Friday he went into Bethany. Look in verse 12. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon as it is written. So, what's the next day after Friday, which was 6 days before the Passover? The next day after Friday is Saturday. So when did Jesus come in? On Palm Saturday. By the way, he did not die on Good Friday either. It's pretty hard to die on Friday and be raised on Sunday and be dead in the grave for 3 days and three nights. I don't care how the Catholics count, it can't be done. You just can't do it. He would have had to have died probably on Wednesday, which means the day before Passover, which was the high day or the high Sabbath day, which was on Thursday, the Passover day, and be in the grave 3 days and three nights, not three portions of days and not three portions of night, but 3 days and three nights, which I believe means that Jesus came in on Palm Saturday and was crucified on Good Wednesday and was resurrected on Sunday. Hallelujah. Well, let's get back to Luke chapter 19 again. Luke chapter 19. So much for next year's Palm Sunday, huh? By the way, we didn't have a Palm Sunday this year either, if you remember. Luke chapter 19, look in verse 41. It Now here's the thing I want you to notice. In verse 41 he says, "And when he was come near, and beheld the city, and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes." I have circled my Bible the words, "thy day." He said, you should have known thy day. Read on in verse 43. "For the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation." Also got circled in my Bible, the words, "the time of thy visitation." Now here's basically what Jesus was saying to the Jews on Palm Saturday. When he rode into the town, he said to them, you should have known thy day, or should have known the time of thy visitation. What he's saying is, if you would have just read the Bible and would have read the prophecies concerning this day when I would ride into town, you would know the exact day that I was coming in, and you would know that I am the Messiah according to Daniel chapter 9. What he basically was saying is, Daniel was already given the prophecy that said when the Messiah, the Prince, would come in, it would be 483 years after the decree that was given Artaxerxes to rebuild the wall and Jerusalem. 483 years from that time, Jesus would come riding into Jerusalem as the Prince, or present himself as Messiah the Prince. So according to Sir Robert Anderson was a detective in Scotland Yards, back during the days of Scotland Yards. He was a save man. And since he was a detective, he was very concerned about details. He was very much a detail man as a detective. He wrote two different books, one book called Daniel the Critic's Den and the other called The Coming Prince. In these books, he detailed exactly the day from the time Artaxerxes made the decree all the way up to the time that Jesus came riding into Jerusalem. And he said, to the day, that was exactly 483 years. You have to realize that the years that he was using was Jewish calendar years, which were a calendar of 360 days, not our normal 365 days and 366 days on a leap year. If you look in Revelation, which was not an unusual thing for him to do, if you look in Revelation chapter 11, and verse 2, it says, "For the court which is without the temple, leave out, and measure it not, for given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. Of course, that 42 months represents 3.5 years. Look in the next verse. "And I'll give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth." That 1,260 days represents years of 360 days that would come out to exactly 3.5 years. So that's normally what prophetical calendar looked at, was 360 day years. That's what the Jewish calendar was 360 day years. And so if you take 360 day years, and I'm not going to go into detail over what Sir Robert Anderson said, but he took all those into detail. He took over the detail in going from BC to AD, took in account of every day completely and explicitly, and comes up to the point where Jesus came riding into Jerusalem upon the colt. And so he went all the work to detailing that. I'm not going to argue with him. Amen? And so, anyway, this represents the time that Jesus Christ presented himself as the Prince. So, 400, or what he figured out, would be exactly 483 years. Another thing that Sir Robert Anderson said was that Jesus was crucified in April of 32 A.D. So he was figuring all these out exactly to the year. And he said that it comes out to Palm Saturday of 32 A.D. and that Jesus was crucified in April of 32 A.D. Look in Luke chapter 3. Let me show you something according to the New Testament which could basically back up what Sir Robert Anderson said also. Luke chapter 3, verse 1, it says, Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip tetrarch of Iturea, and the region of Trachonitis, and Lysanias the tetrarch of Abilene, Annas and Caiaphas being high priests, the word of God came unto John the son of Zacharias in the wilderness. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Esaias the prophet, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. So we see, we at least know the year that John the Baptist began his ministry. He began his ministry in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar. Tiberius Caesar, his first year of reign was in 14 A.D. That was considered, according to the Roman way of dictating the number of years that they reigned. The year that he became ruler was his first year, or considered his first year of reign. So you add 14 years onto his first year of reign, that would bring you up to 28 A.D. So John the Baptist began his ministry in the year 28 A.D. Okay, did you follow along with that? Okay, he began his ministry in 28 A.D. According to his early sermons, many of the illustrations he used depicted the spring of the year. So we could probably say that he began his ministry somewhere in the spring of 28 A.D. He baptized Jesus sometime during that time, which gives him some leeway for a few months of preaching, and then baptizing Jesus. We could probably say that Jesus was baptized then, 28 A.D., probably in the fall. So we picture Jesus being baptized in the fall of 28 A.D. Jesus' ministry lasted for 3.5 years upon this earth. From the time that he was baptized, the time that he was crucified, was 3.5 years. So you add 3.5 years from 28 A.D. in the fall, and that'll bring you up to the spring of 32 A.D., which fits in with what Sir Robert Anderson said also. So that fits in with a biblical account of Jesus and his ministry, that Jesus preached 3.5 years and that he was crucified somewhere in the spring of 32 A.D. So basically we can go along with that. Also, in 300 A.D., there was a historian, a Jewish historian by the name of Epiphanius. Epiphanius said this in his writings, which is not, of course, Bible, but from history. He said that Jesus was baptized in November of 28 A.D., and that he was crucified in the spring of 32 A.D. So early historians go along with those same facts also. So here's the thing that we need to realize then. The next thing that we can see from this prophecy that was given to Daniel by Gabriel is when Messiah the Prince will come. We know that it's going to be 483 years from the time that Artaxerxes decreed to rebuild the wall and Jerusalem. By the way, notice back in Daniel chapter 9, and verse 25 again, he says, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Now he divides them between 7 weeks and 62 weeks. So we have a period of 49 years and a period of 434 years. We don't have any indication that there's any gap between those times, so it just equals a total of 483 years. Possibly that first 49 years just represented the time that the temple was being rebuilt and the walls were to be completed. So that's possibly a time when everything was being rebuilt in Jerusalem. At the end of those 49 years, Jerusalem was rebuilt, the temple was rebuilt, or the walls were rebuilt, and everything was taken care of there in Jerusalem. And then add to that the next 62 years gives you a total of 483 years. So the fifth thing that I want you to see then is the time when Messiah appears as Prince of Israel. He appeared as Prince of Israel when he came in riding upon the colt into Jerusalem and the triumphal entry as he presented himself as Prince or as King. Of course, he was rejected by the Jews, but he presented himself to the Jews as their King 483 years after the decree to rebuild the wall. Okay, let's look then at the sixth thing. In verse 26, it says, After 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. Let me just say this before I get to the sixth thing. After this 483 years, after Jesus came riding into Jerusalem, sometime after that, the Messiah was cut off. Of course, that is depicting the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. That was already shown God already knew what the Jews would do. God already knew that Jesus would be cut off. This is a picture of his suffering. This is a picture of his crucifixion sometime after this 483 years. Of course, we know it was just a few days after that he was crucified on that following Wednesday. And so it also has a picture of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ when the Messiah would be cut off. Okay, let's read on in that verse. But not for himself. Of course, when Jesus was cut off, when Jesus died, he did not die for himself. He died for the sins of the whole world. He died for us. Then, and the people that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end thereof shall be with a flood. Unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Here's what we've seen so far. There is a total of 70 weeks. They are split up into 62 weeks and 7 weeks, for a total of 69 weeks. We've already seen 69 weeks that have taken place. Those were taken place, and they were fulfilled when Jesus came riding into Jerusalem on the colt. We see those things taking place. But yet there were 7 more years, and that's talked about in verse 27. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. That's the 70th week. That's the last week that Daniel was talking about. Now, I do not believe that 70th week took place directly following the 69th week. Here's why. If the 69th week ended in 32 A.D., when would the 70th week have ended? It would have ended in 39 A.D., right? What had to have taken place before these 490 years were done? One of the things that had to take place is that the Jews' rebellion would have to be finished. To finish the transgression or the sin of rebellion of the Jewish race. Has that been finished yet? Yes or no? No, it has not. Have the Jews turned back to Jesus as the Messiah? No, they haven't. Therefore, has that been fulfilled? No, it has not. Therefore, the 70th week could not have taken place back then directly after it. There had to be some kind of a time period. Some kind of a gap that took place in there. By the way, don't let gaps worry you. For instance, look at Isaiah chapter 9. This is not the only gap in the Bible concerning prophecy. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, the Bible says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Okay, of course we realize that this is a picture or this is talking or a prophecy of Jesus Christ. Now, which time that Jesus came to this earth is this referring to? Which time is it? His birth. Right. The first time. His birth. It says, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." That took place the first time that Jesus came, the first advent or his birth. Let's read on. "And the government shall be upon his shoulder." Now, which time of Jesus' coming is that referring to? No, is a government upon his shoulder? His second coming. When will the government be upon his shoulder? When will Jesus rule and reign upon this earth? During the millennial reign of Christ at his second coming. Right? Okay, let's look at the verse again. "For unto us a child is born, unto us again a son is given." Which coming is that talking about? His first coming. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. Which coming is that talking about? The second coming. Now, does it tell us that there's a difference between those comings? Matter of fact, the two comings are only divided by a colon in my Bible. That's all there is. That means there's a great gap between his first coming and his second coming. In that one verse right there, there's a gap talking about the first time that he came and then prophesying the second time that he will come, when the government will be upon his shoulder and when he will rule and reign upon this earth for 1,000 years and then his kingdom will go on for all of eternity. Look at Zechariah chapter 9, one of the other verses we've already looked at. In Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9, he said, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt the foal of an ass." That was talking about when he came riding into Jerusalem upon a colt. That was during his first coming, his first advent upon the earth. Verse 10, and I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off. He shall speak peace unto the heathen, and his dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from the river even to the ends of the earth. When will his dominion be over the entire earth? During his first coming or second coming? Second coming. So we see his riding in upon a colt was during his first coming. The dominion from earth to earth will be during his second coming. So we see that there's a great gap between verses 9 and verse 10. Look at Isaiah chapter 61. I'll show you one other example here. Isaiah chapter 61. Verse 1 says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Okay, when did these things take place? During his first or second coming? During his first coming. Jesus came and healed the sick and proclaimed the acceptable year of the Lord during his first coming. And the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn. When will the day of vengeance of our God be? During his second coming. Matter of fact, look in Luke chapter 4. Jesus himself even confirms this. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Well, in verse 16, for background, he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. There was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Esaias, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Notice here's what he read to them. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, or remission to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now notice the next verse. And he closed the book. Why did he not read the rest of that verse? Because that was not for his first coming. The vengeance of the Lord was for his second coming. So the first time he came, he quoted Isaiah, read those same verses, up to the point where it started divided between his first coming and his second coming. He read to them only the portion that which had to do with his first coming, and then he closed the book. And then when it's time for the vengeance of the Lord, he will come back again for his second coming. So we see in prophecy, in the Old Testament prophecy, there are many examples of gaps in the Old Testament. God did not reveal everything in each one of those verses. I've heard it represented this way. The Old Testament prophets, as they were looking across, they were looking from mountaintop to mountaintop. They were looking at the peaks. And they could see the peaks of the mountains, but they could not see the valleys. And so there were occasionally gaps which they could not see. As they looked across, they saw Jesus' first coming, and they saw his second coming, and could not necessarily differentiate which was talking about his first and which was talking about his second. Of course, we have a little advantage. We can look back at those things, and we can see the things that have already taken place and the things that have not yet taken place, and we can differentiate between those that took place in his first coming and those that are yet to take place in his second coming. So as they looked across, they did not necessarily see each of the gaps that took place between his first coming and his second coming. We are living within that gap of his first coming and his second coming. Therefore, there's a gap that takes place between the 69th week and the 70th week. So, preacher, how long is that gap? When the tribulation begins, I'll let you know. All right? Till then, we're not going to worry about how long it is. We just know that according to the Bible, there is a gap that takes place between the 69th week and the 70th week. So here's the next thing we realize. There is a gap between the 69th week and the 70th week. 69 weeks have already been fulfilled. We've already seen those things taken care of in the past. There is one week that has not yet been fulfilled, and that is yet in the future. So there is a 7-year period sometime in the future that is called the 70th week of Daniel that has not yet taken place. So, here's what we know then concerning the prophecy that Gabriel gave to Daniel. We know, first of all, that it deals with two things in particular. It deals with the children of Israel and with the city of We also know that this is a 70-week period of time, representing 70 sevens of time, or representing how many years? 490 years. We also see that this was the purpose of these 490 years was to accomplish how many things? Six things. So six things had to be accomplished. If these six things are not accomplished, then the 490 years are not over with yet. We saw also that the starting point of this was at the decree given to rebuild the city of Jerusalem and the walls of Jerusalem, which was given by Artaxerxes in 445 B.C. We see the fifth thing, that the time of the Messiah was to appear as Prince of Israel, was when he rode into the city of Jerusalem. We saw him riding in on a colt. Then we see at after these 69 years that Messiah was to be cut off. This is a picture or a prophecy concerning the what of Jesus? Crucifixion of Jesus Christ, when Jesus was to be crucified or to be cut off. And then we see that there is a gap that takes place from the 483 years that have already taken place and the 7 years which are to take place yet in the future. Okay, let's look at another thing then. Look back at Daniel chapter 9. And verse 27. Look at verse 26. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. Now notice the next phrase. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The next thing we know is that there, the people who would destroy the temple was described as a people with a future prince. The people that were to destroy Jerusalem and the temple are described as a people with a future prince, a prince that was yet to come. Now, we already know to Daniel, this was in the future. This was prophecy. Once again, we have the benefit of looking back in the past. We know when Jerusalem was destroyed. We know when the temple was destroyed. Now, remember, the temple has not been rebuilt yet, or Jerusalem has not yet been rebuilt at the time that Daniel had this. So Daniel was looking forward to a time when it would be destroyed again. He already knew it was destroyed in 586 B.C. That was by Babylon. Babylon destroyed Jerusalem in 586 or 587 B.C. Jerusalem was destroyed. The temple was destroyed. A decree was made to go back and rebuild Jerusalem and rebuild the temple and rebuild the walls. So the temple and the walls in the city were to be rebuilt. So after the temple was rebuilt, then it was destroyed again, which was future to Daniel, which is history to us. It was destroyed again in the year 70 A.D. by the Romans. So the Romans were the next people that destroyed the city and destroyed the temple. That was destroyed in 70 A.D. So this Roman people will have a prince that will come. Of course, what is he talking about when he's talking about Rome? He's talking about the future Rome or the revived Roman Empire. By the way, we already see the Roman Empire right now as the ecclesiastical Rome, but one day it will rise again as political Rome, as the revived Roman Empire in the future yet to come. So he's talking about a prince that will be of the revived Roman Empire. And of course, we already know who this prince will be. The revived Roman Empire will have a prince known as the Antichrist. So this prince that shall come, this prince of the people that will destroy the Jerusalem, is talking about the Antichrist, which will be the leader of the revived Roman Empire. Let's look at the next thing. When will the Antichrist appear? Daniel chapter 9, verse 27 says, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate. So we see that the Antichrist will come at the beginning of this 70th week. So he will at least have made his appearance before the 70th week begins. So now we see when the 70th week will begin. We've seen when the 69th week ended. And now God tells us when this 70th week will begin. Notice the verse again. Let's see when it will begin. And he, who, the prince of the people that shall come, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. That 70th week will begin when the prince of the revived Roman Empire will sign a covenant with many. Now, that's talking about, of course, who is this prophecy concerning? The children of Israel. Who will he sign the covenant with then? The children of Israel, or with many of them anyway. According to this prophecy right here, there will be some that will not be for the signing of the covenant with the Antichrist, but most of them will, or many of them will, and therefore the covenant will be signed with the Antichrist. So we see that the ending of the 483 years ended when Jesus came riding into Jerusalem upon the back of a colt. We see the 70th week will begin when this prince of the revived Roman Empire will sign a covenant with many or the children of Israel for 1 week. And that 1 week, of course, represents 7 years. So he will come and he will sign a covenant with Israel. Why will Israel sign a covenant with this Antichrist? What will be their purpose in doing so? I believe their purpose will be for two reasons. One reason that they will sign this covenant is politically. The Antichrist will come to Israel and say, Israel, you have many enemies in the world. One of them, of course, is Russia. And Russia's allies are the enemy of Israel. They would like to come down upon Israel and take over Israel. And he says, you have many enemies in the world. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to protect you from all your enemies. Israel says, that sounds like a good deal to us. We will sign a covenant with you politically that will say we are safe from all of our enemies, and if anybody attacks us, you will come to our rescue. So he will sign a covenant with Israel politically and will make a promise to them to protect them from their enemies. The second thing that we see from this verse is that evidently he will also reinstate temple worship and sacrifice worship to them. He will say to them, okay, I'm going to protect you politically, but I'm going to help you out ecclesiastically also. I'm going to restore to you your temple worship, which means that sometime in the future that there will be a temple will be rebuilt in Jerusalem. He says, I'll restore this temple worship to you and will restore this animal sacrifice. So the sacrifice will be restored to you as the children of Israel. So we see that this will be a covenant with them for 1 week, politically for their protection, religiously to reinstate temple worship and the sacrifice for the children of Israel. So the 70th week will begin then when the covenant is signed with Israel, politically to protect them, religiously to reinstate temple worship and the sacrifice worship that the Jews would like to reinstate or go back to. So we know when the 483 years ended. We know when the 70th week will begin, and that will take place for 7 years. Now there's a problem. He says, I will protect you for 1 week. And then verse 27 goes on to say, and in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. So he says, at the beginning of this 70th week, he says, I want to sign a covenant with you. I'll protect you, and I'll cause you to have your animal sacrifice again and back to the temple worship. In the midst of this week, what's the midst of 7 years? 3.5 years. In 3.5 years, he says, I'm going to break the covenant. He promised them 7 years of protection, but he only protects them for 3.5 years and then breaks the covenant with them after 3.5 years. So those are the things then, or several things, I guess we're going to finish up next week, but those are several things that we know concerning this prophecy in Daniel chapter 9. We know then that the prophecy deals with the children of Israel and the city of Jerusalem. We know that it is 70 weeks, representing how many years? 490 years. We know that this 490 years, during this 490 years, there will be how many things that must be accomplished upon the Jews in their city? 6 things must be accomplished. We also know the starting point of this took place when the decree was made to rebuild the city and the walls of Jerusalem. And that was made by Artaxerxes. And then that 483 years was to be accomplished. And at the end of 483, we would see Jesus come in as the what of Israel? Prince or King of Israel. He would have the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Then he would be cut off at the crucifixion. And then we see that this 70th week will begin somewhere in the future, that there's a gap between the end of the 69th week and the beginning of the 70th week. We see that the 70th week will begin when the prince of the people that shall come, or the ones that will come to destroy the temple, when the prince of that people, the revived Roman Empire, will come and sign a covenant with the children of Israel for how many years? 7 years. And that this will be broken in the midst of that year, or 3.5 years, that will be broken with them. And then we'll finish up probably the last things concerning this prophecy next week, and let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, bless us now as we go. I pray that you'll help us to realize that you have many things in store for us in the days to come, and help us to be prepared for those things. Help us to get as many people out of hell and into heaven as we can in the days that we have remaining, or hours we have remaining. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.